This is A-State Connections on KASU. I'm Jonathan Reeves. This is a weekly segment called A-State Connections and Create at State, making connections that count. In this interview, Associate Professor of History Dr. Justin Castro and undergraduate student Nathan Grimes talk about Grimes being awarded the Student Undergraduate Research Fellowship from the Arkansas Department of Higher Education. Grimes conducted research with Castro for a book project, and Dr. Castro tells more.
So the project that we're working on actually stemmed out of my last book project, which was about an engineer who lived during the 20th century named Modesto Rolland, who lived in Mexico and worked for the Mexican government during the Mexican Revolution. And he had this kind of crazy project to build trains that carried large ships across the skinniest part of Mexico, which is called the Isthmus of Tehuantepec. And I was in the middle of writing that, and that's when I got introduced to Nathan here, who actually, as a freshman, it was rather impressive, kind of came into my office and said, was wondering if I had any kind of research that he could help me with. And so where we started on this project was, I was like, yeah, because I just found out that this engineer that wanted to build this crazy idea was actually borrowing this idea from an American engineer named James Eads, who had attempted it in the 1800s. And so I was like, well, if you want to research that project, maybe we can do something with that and see where that goes. And that led to us applying for the SURF grant and then all sorts of crazy, you know, archive adventures and years of writing since then.
So tell us a little bit about how the idea for all this first got started, if you don't mind, please.
Yeah, so it's kind of it's a long story of like multiple projects. But it started out when I came across this engineer named Modesto Rolland when I was researching a book on the use of radio during the Mexican Revolution. And I kept coming across his name involved with radio, but all these different other projects. So ports, railways, stadium building, houses, land reform. And essentially, I wanted to know more about him and people like him, because when you read histories, you tend to get a whole lot of stories about those in like top political power, or even more recently, there's been kind of attempt to focus on like working class history, the history in Mexico of like peasants and people that fought in the revolution. But you don't get a whole lot of people like Rolland, or even in U.S. history, like James Eads, who are these kind of middle-of-the-road kind of bureaucrats, the engineers, the people that actually design and build things. And in the case of Mexico, where you have, during the Mexican Revolution, a series of presidents that are shot, assassinated, overthrown, it's a lot of political turmoil. Essentially, kind of what I was starting to find and argue was that it's these people that are kind of in the mid-level channels of bureaucracy and these kind of technocrats and engineers that are actually kind of providing the stable actual construction of the nation state. And so I wanted to make an argument essentially for their importance. And that's where kind of people and like Rolland and then James Eads come into this story. And so we wanted to tell that story. And then the fact that it was just such a remarkable project, the one that Nathan was writing about and that I built on, was, you know, the idea to put giant ships on trains, then move them across land for 200 miles, then dump them into oceans just seemed kind of remarkable. And it failed. But we kind of wanted to see what it was about and why it failed and what that failure could tell us.
Right. And so, Nathan, I want to get your thoughts on the research that you've been working on. So kind of tell us a bit about your part in this and how, you know, in your interest in this research.
I came in as a freshman, kind of knowing that I wanted to do research eventually in my own career. And so I got pointed in his direction. And so I went and asked him, you know, if he had anything for me. And eventually it did come into the James Eads project.
Yeah.
And my interest in it, I think, is just a general historical interest. I think what I want to do eventually with my career is more medieval European history. But nevertheless, I did find this story fascinating, like Dr. Castro was saying, because of the sheer magnitude and seeming impracticality of the ship railway being built and the giant ships being carried across land in such a way.
It does have ancient precedents, though, right?
It does, yes. There are stories of the Greeks taking ships over land, nowhere near the scale that Eads was proposing. And, I mean, he had done what people had said was impossible before. I mean, he built a bridge connecting St. Louis to East St. Louis that people said would never hold up, and it's still standing today. It's still known as the Eads Bridge. He built a system of river jetties along the Mississippi River. He was a man who knew what he wanted and wasn't afraid to go and get it. And I think that's what really drew me to the character of him.
Right. So tell us about, as y'all been going on in this, you said that that Nathan was able to get some SURF funding, you know, as part of it. Kind of tell us about what that is and how that helped, started.
So the SURF grant is it's an award for undergraduate students. Mm-hmm. So if you remember the acronym, right? It's the Student Undergraduate Research Fellowship.
Fellowship or fund?
One fund.
I don't know. One of them, we'll have to look it up.
Right.
But it's a great opportunity. And the thing is, it's oftentimes it's used in kind of the hard sciences. I don't think that's by design. It's just kind of the way that it's ended up, where they have mm-hmm. kind of students working directly with the mentor on a very specific project that you can kind of do in a lab, I think is what oftentimes is mm-hmm. how they're used. And so we wanted to try to give it a chance to say, you know, hey, how do we get the kind of the humanities and social sciences involved? And since Nathan was still interested in kind of, I think if anything, just honing your kind of research mm-hmm. chops, we said, well, why not try to apply for this? And this would allow an opportunity to make this, you know, a real publishable piece of scholarship. And
sure.
So we used the funds from that to, fund a trip to the National Archives in College Park right outside of Washington, D.C. And then we went to James Eads' collections, which are housed in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And so we were able to combine that with your own research here from the library and into all the secondary materials and some of the things I collected in Mexico to kind of bring it all together into a really solid piece. But we wouldn't have been able to do that without the SURF fund.
Oh, no, definitely not.
So you said that you wanted to, you came here, you wanted to do, you know, get involved in research. Kind of your takeaway during the research process and how this really has helped you as you go forward into your career.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely prepared me for the methodology of starting a research project, collecting the sources, and kind of seeing how they connect as a cohesive whole, kind of weighing through the pieces and all that. Which I did. I got partly from the practice of history class that all undergraduates history majors have to take. But this took it, I think, miles beyond what I would have gotten if I had just done that. And so it also exposed me to the need to travel. In the research and in the future research, because while I was able to get quite a bit from, say, the congressional records on JSTOR, and that's electronic archive, there were so many things that I would never been able to find had we not gone to the National Archives or especially to the James Eads collection in St. Louis, And in working with Dr. Castro, I've developed the mindset, I think, for what's required for a long-term history project.
Right.
Well, and you know, I don't know of many. I'm trying to think if I know of any of undergraduates that, you know, have done really serious research in archives. And so, I mean, it's something that's kind of hard to explain to students, I think, sometimes. And that is, you know, we can learn about kind of subjects and content and things like that about history, but the actual production of history, I mean, we train students here in that as much as we can, but you're kind of limited by your sources because historians really rely on material sources. But, you know, if professional historians in general, you're required to go, especially if you're, you know, study things that have international breadth. I mean, you need to know multiple languages. You need to go to multiple countries. You need to be able to spend days and days and days and ends in these kind of windowless, you know, boxes with just old papers, you know, sifting through them and being able to put that together with all the cool things we can access online now, which is awesome. But you still can't access a lot of, we're not going to ever digitalize all the records that are going to pertain to these stories. So it still takes a lot of work and a lot of time. And so one thing I tell a lot of my students is that, you know, history is about time, but it's about time as in what we want to study, as in the context of kind of space and time, but also that it takes a lot of time. And so the fact that we were working on this since before the CERF grant, mm-hmm. probably back into 2016, mm-hmm. and cross our fingers, I think we're going to get this thing published. Which is another first. I've never known any undergraduate to have a peer-reviewed, published paper in history that I know of. But that will be a process that took essentially 3 years. Mm-hmm. And so it takes a lot of time to get good work done in the field of history.
Matt, I know that you're proud of the work that he's done.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think it's stellar and amazing. So whatever route, whether it's a you know early modern, medieval, wherever and whenever, I'm certain he'll do well.
And something I'd like to circle back on a bit, you know, we're talking about an era that we live in that is so digital and everyone wants things fast. And you said, especially with archives, there are just some things you just can't get on the net. But there's a value to being able to take the time to be able to do that, to be able to conduct the research that way. And I think that's one of the things that I know you've been trying to impart to the students. I know that you probably, especially, you know, since you're in this area where, you know, hey, we're trying to get things just as fast as we can, there's a value sometimes, I guess, to just kind of slowing down, Nathan, and saying, hey, you know, you can find a lot of jewels if you just kind of go to the source.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Especially because I think the speed of how you're able to go through the sources contributes to that as well, because when you're on a digital archive and all that, it's very easy to just flip through very easily because you can essentially just click a button and you go to the next one. While mm-hmm. with the archive sources, yeah, you know, you can flip through them in a packet fairly quickly, but then you have to take the time to think, oh, hey, I need this other source that they have archived, or I need this other packet from the series, and you have to go and put the request in and wait some time to get it, and it slows your mind down enough to where you can process it all. I feel like much easier and much more thoroughly,
right,
than you potentially could when it's just scrolling through it on a screen.
So have you always been interested in research, even when you were like in junior high and high school? And the second part of that is, how did you come to Arkansas State to continue to pursue that, if it's something you've always wanted to do?
I definitely knew that I wanted to do some kind of research before I came to college. I'm not quite sure when it started. I was always kind of between history and science, and during middle school and the first part of high school, just because I think I enjoy science, and I think the big push came from my science teachers that made me kind of consider it more. Mm-hmm. But eventually history won out, and once that happened, I think about 11th grade, I knew that research in history was what I really wanted to go into, probably stemming from the amount of books that I read throughout my life. I always knew that I wanted to be around books and documents, and so historical research seemed the perfect outlet for that.
Right, and so are you going to pursue further work, master's, you know, work and stuff like that?
Yes, my current plan is to go on and do master's and PhD afterwards, and then hopefully get into a position at a university somewhere in the world.
Well, I know, though, that this kind of work, though, really set you up, and working with someone like Dr. Castro really would kind of help you in that, because he's kind of, you know, pushing you towards that way. And I imagine that's probably one of the advantages to being able to do that and work under Dr. Castro.
Oh, yes, definitely. It's really been a blessing to have him as a mentor and have him help me along the way and in the things that I've in my path, I guess, in my future goals.
And working with him, what have you kind of learned from your student, from Nathan, in this process?
Well, there are a lot of things. So one is just the things that he's actually brought to the table that I didn't know before. It kind of expanded my own research in a lot of ways. It kind of broadened. He brought stuff that was kind of older that contextualized it. And then kind of more of the side from the angle from the U.S. relations that I didn't know. And then just kind of from on the personal basis, I think it was an inspiration to see kind of all this new energy and kind of, if you're really passionate about history, there's something about kind of that feeling of when you like first dig into those archives and you first get to hold those documents that have like the signatures of the people that you're reading, and you can almost like feel their presence on the documents. And so to kind of watch Nathan go, get that excitement brings that excitement back into me. He's also been a great traveling partner. And so being able to explore, DC and the Metro and hit the museums and the archives together. We've kind of been like a road team as well. And so that's been a real inspiration. And so I think it's really kind of pushed my own work and given me a little bit more energy to kind of see through my projects and then to kind of expand on them into different ways. And then just to, see him do so well, I think is, one of the best rewards that you can get as a professor. So
appreciate you both coming up for the Created State podcast. Before I let you run, anything else you would like to add? Nathan, I'll start with you. Anything else you'd like to add, please?
I'd really just like to encourage everybody else, undergraduate, graduate, and anybody who just has even a passing interest in history to just go for it. Start looking for people that you can talk to about getting into research projects and any way that you can help them or they can guide you in your own interests. Because it is very rewarding, and you'll definitely thank yourself in the long run for starting early or getting into it in the first place. Because I feel like not that many people are aware that it's possible to do a research project like this or other things of this magnitude this early on in your college career or in your life.
Yeah, and that's what Arkansas State can provide for students.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, so I agree 100%. And to just build on that a little bit, yeah, I mean, I encourage students at any level, Nathan's a great example. I mean, coming in as a freshman, you can start from the very beginning. If you know you're passionate about a subject, really reach out to those professors that are around you, because I think a lot of students, it's an intimidating thing to do, but if you can get yourself to work past that, I think you find that most professors are, generally pretty friendly, and they want to help you and they enjoy these relationships. Mm-hmm. If you're really serious about it, you can generally kind of get your, work together on serious projects that could give you a serious edge, especially if you're wanting to go on to graduate school.
Associate Professor of History at Arkansas State University, Dr. Justin Castro, and student Nathan Grimes on the Create at State podcast. And to hear more interviews like this one, you can subscribe to the Created State Podcast to the Created State Podcast page on KASU.org. It's also available on iTunes or Google Play, or you can listen on the NPR app. It's available anywhere podcasts are available. And tell others about the Created State Podcast and leave us a review, as we'd love to hear from you. You're listening to A-State Connections on KASU. I'm Jonathan Reeves.